RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news versus the headlines. Indonesia and Malaysia to formulate new palm oil standards. Indonesia keeps sending CPO to European markets. Banten province provincial government is ready to host FFI 2015. Now the news in detail. Indonesia and Malaysia are currently in the process to achieve harmonization in palm oil standards as part of an agreement to set up a council of palm oil producing countries. The Indonesian delegation, represented by the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Rizal Ramli, held a meeting on Friday with the Deputy Secretary General of Commodity of the Ministry of Plantation, Industry and Commodities, Datu M. Nagarajan. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Rizal Ramli said that there is a deal to formulate new palm oil standards. Indonesia and Malaysia have different standards, but now the two countries are formulating new palm oil standards. In addition, the two countries have also urged oil palm farmers to further develop their skills. Therefore, the agreement on new standards will focus on being environmental friendly and ensuring sustainability. He said the treaty will also add value because it will support small farmers in Indonesia and Malaysia. An international conference has concluded that Indonesian crude palm oil products are still needed by European markets either for cosmetics, biofuel, or as food, indicating the success of the world's biggest CPO producer. Represented by the Plantation Fund Management Agency, Indonesia has succeeded in pushing an agreement of the European Palm Oil Conference in Milan, Italy on October the 29th to keep its CPO products in place in European countries. As quoted by Jakarta Post, former Vice Trade Minister Bayu Krishnamurti said that the conclusion of the conference states that the substitution of CPO is not necessarily healthier than palm oil-based products. He also said 300 participants present in the conference boycotted CPO products, and this was not a solution for the environmental issues. He added that the best solution is to assure that all CPO products are certified sustainable palm oil. He further said it is a major success for Indonesia to face up to the international negative campaign against CPO. Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry Committee of Festival Film Indonesia, or FFI 2015, and Banten Provincial Government officially opened Indonesian Film Festival, or FFI 2015, awarding event, which will be centered in Batam. The opening of the festival was also marked by the signing of MOU among Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry, FFI, and Banten Provincial Government. The signing was done by the Ministry Secretary General Didik Suhardi, who represented Education and Culture Minister Anies Baswedan, Banten Governor Rano Karno, and Head of FFI 2015 Committee Olga Lydia at Banten Governor Office Pavilion, Serang City, Banten Provincial Government has shown readiness to host FFI 2015, as stated by Banten Governor Rano Karno on the sidelines of FFI 2015 launching.
Ya, persiapan kami selaku tuan rumah.
Yes, I think our preparation as the host of Festival Film Indonesia has almost reached 99.9%. It means that, God willing, all activities that take place in Banten from the launching today and the closing on November the 23rd at ICE are all ready, hopefully. Banten Governor Rano Karno said that the signing of MOU between FFI Committee and the Education and Culture Ministry is the commitment of Banten Provincial Government to support film industry in the country. The appointment as the host completes the theme of FFI this year, namely theater and film. This theme is chosen to recall the late Teguh Karya, legendary figure in the film industry who was born in Pandeglang, Banten. The peak of the festival awarding event will be held at Indonesian Convention Exhibition BSD City Tangerang on Monday, November the 23rd. Prior to this, the committee will also screen films directed by Teguh Karya on November 16th until 20th, and followed by film screening of FFI participants in Cilegon on November 21st and 22nd. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. To demonstrate its commitment to fighting fish poaching, the government of Indonesia has sunk 101 foreign fishing boats for conducting illegal operations in its maritime territory until October. The Director General of Fishery Resource Monitoring at the Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Resources, Asep Burhanuddin, said that as many as 101 boats have been sunk. The boats include 34 Philippine flag boats, 33 Vietnamese, 21 Thai, and 6 Malaysian. Of the sunk boats, each was from Indonesia and China, while two from Papua New Guinea. He also said on October the 31st, there will be 6 more boats to be sunk, and all of them are from neighboring countries. The People Coalition for Fishery Justice, or KIARA, has urged President Joko Widodo's government to not only entirely focus on the poaching problem, but to prioritize improving the welfare of the coastal communities. The annual Gotra Sawala West Java Cultural Event was officially opened by Deputy Governor of West Java, Deddy Miswar, at Sunyaragi Cave Complex, Cirebon, West Java, on Friday. In his opening remark, Deddy Miswar said that the people of Cirebon should develop creative economy and local cultural products as the main focus in improving the economy. Furthermore, West Java Deputy Governor Deddy Miswar said that the people should get ready because of the event such as Gotra Sawala, the local potential can be recognized and brought to international tourists. I should say brought by international tourists. Deputy Governor Deddy Miswar also asked the cultural observers and artists to optimally play their roles in boosting the local potential. Last item, an English teacher coming from Japan, Takenaka Kaori, explained to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday afternoon related to the World City Day commemorated every October the 31st. That as a developed country, Japan has modern layout concept. The good setting concept has made more people live comfortably. She has been in Jakarta for 1 year and she added Tokyo has cleanliness concept by providing trash cans from many categories to prevent dirtiness for the comfort of the people. Furthermore, there are many other things for Takenaka Kaori to be comfortable living in Tokyo, such as department stores, and the stores are open until midnight, even 24 hours each day, she said. Japanese are used to living in disciplined way to keep cleanliness, such as throwing garbage in the available trash cans. It makes people comfortable to live in the cities of Japan, he said. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia and Malaysia to formulate new palm oil standards. Indonesia keeps sending CPO to European markets. Banten Provincial Government ready to host Indonesian Film Festival 2015. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. ¶¶ This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the Big Press Review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the Week Press Review. Let's start with Kompas Daily, which in its editorial on Wednesday, October the 28th, writes Nationality Milestones Narrative. The commemoration of Youth Pledge Day on October the 28th invites all parties to enrich themselves, make corrections, and take lessons. On October the 28th, 1928, Indonesian youth made a pledge on having one nation, one state, and one language, Indonesia. Kompas writes a grand narrative had colored the Second Youth Congress on that day, a decree of unity of October the 28th, 1928, which is now called the Youth Pledge Day, and it is one of the pillars of the Indonesian national consciousness. Meanwhile, although still considered Javanese ethnocentric, Budi Utomo establishment on May 20, 1908 was agreed as the National Awakening Day. According to Kompas, the color of nationality, which was initiated by some Javanese medical students, did not originally include the reality of ethnic pluralism in Indonesia. However, Budi Utomo later became a milestone in Indonesian national consciousness. Kompas writes the selection of Youth Pledge building at Krampat Raya Street number 106 as location for the first day of presidential election campaign in 2014 by Joko Widodo was assigned to complete and correct the country or the nation. Any commemoration and celebration also have a wisdom that impact in the future. Next is Media Indonesia newspaper. In its editorial on Thursday, October the 29th, this daily writes, considering the bleed of free trade. During a recent visit to the United States, President Joko Widodo expressed a desire to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Earlier this month, on October the 5th, 2015, a 12-country trade collaboration led by United States produced the biggest free trade pact in the world. It is called so due to the fact that the total gross domestic product of the countries involved in the pact account for 40% of global GDP or gross domestic product. An economic value that is very tempting for many countries. About 18,000 posts ranging from product engineering, agriculture, fisheries, mining, to electronics have been gradually exempted from import tariffs. It makes a number of national exporters worried. With a 0% tariff, similar products from Malaysia and Vietnam, for instance, can be much cheaper when sold in fellow Trans-Pacific Partnership or TPP countries. According to Media Indonesia, with such conditions, Indonesia could increasingly be threatened by the danger of losing bigger export opportunities. Free trade is indeed difficult to avoid in an era of global cross-border as it is now. Protection for domestic market and industry will be retaliated with the same behavior in the trading partner countries. As a result, the economy is difficult to develop. Therefore, what is needed is a combination of negotiating expertise and strengthening the competitiveness of the industry so that the nation's economy is becoming increasingly great, not by consumption, but by the ability to produce. Determination to boost productivity has often been said by President Joko Widodo. Last is Business Indonesia. On Wednesday, October the 28th, the daily writes, Rebuilding Public Transportation. It is interesting to listen to the assertion by the Ministry of Transportation regarding the status of motorcycles, which is not included in the public transport, because this type of vehicle is not listed in the Law No. 22/2009 on Road Traffic and Road Transport. The statement of the Ministry of Transportation was in response to the debate regarding the use of motorcycle as public transport, which surfaced recently along with the presence of a number of online-based services. Public transport is one of the important things for urban residents. Experts say that the improvement of public transport is one of the most effective ways to tackle congestion in big cities. No exception, Jakarta and other big cities, improvement of public transport not only takes time but also needs large funds and long-term planning as well as courage and a clear vision of the regulator. This daily hopes there is a middle way between the presence of new innovations in the transport system with measures to safeguard the investment of public transport providers. In formulating the middle way, the interests of consumers should not be overlooked, of course. Consumer interest is not solely concerning whether or not they quickly get to the destination, but also safety, vehicle quality, clear fee, area of operation, and privacy. Consistency in enforcing the regulation according to Business Indonesia is also important so that the presence of public transport can really be a solution, not create new problems such as congestion and chaos. Well, that was this week's press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ania Sana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on October 31, 1956, when the Suez Canal was closed. The Suez Crisis, also named the Tripartite Aggression, and the Kadesh Operation was an invasion of Egypt in late 1956 by Israel, followed by Britain and France. The aims were to regain Western control of the Suez Canal and to remove Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser from power. After the fighting had started, the United States, the Soviet Union, and the United Nations forced the three invaders to withdraw. The episode humiliated Great Britain and France and strengthened Nasser. On October 29, Israel invaded the Egyptian Sinai. Britain and France issued a joint ultimatum to cease fire, which was ignored. On November 5, Britain and France landed paratroopers along the Suez Canal. The Egyptian forces were defeated, but they did block the canal to all shipping. It became clear that the Israeli invasion and the subsequent Anglo-French attack had been planned beforehand by the three countries. The three allies had attained a number of their military objectives, but the canal was now useless and heavy pressure from the United States and the USSR forced them to withdraw. U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower had strongly warned Britain not to invade. He now threatened serious damage to the British financial system. Historians conclude the crisis signified the end of Great Britain's role as one of the world's major powers. Patterned in 2002 states, the Suez Crisis is widely believed to have contributed significantly to Britain's decline as a world power. The Suez Canal was closed from October 1956 until March 1957. Israel fulfilled some of its objectives, such as attaining freedom of navigation through the Strait of Tiran. As a result of the conflict, the United Nations created the UNEF peacekeepers to police the Egyptian-Israeli border. British Prime Minister Anthony Eden designed, Canadian Minister of External Affairs Lester Pearson won the Nobel Peace Prize, and the USSR may have been emboldened to invade Hungary. And the next event was in 1984 when Indira Gandhi was assassinated. Indira Gandhi was the first female Prime Minister of India and central figure of the Indian National Congress Party. Indira Gandhi, who served from 1966 to 1977 and then again from 1980 until her assassination in 1984, is the second longest-serving Prime Minister of India and the only woman to hold the office. As the Prime Minister of India, Gandhi was known for her political ruthlessness and unprecedented centralization of power. She was assassinated in 1984 by her Sikh bodyguards a few months after she ordered the storming of the Harmandir Sahib in Amritsar to counter the Punjab insurgency. And the last event was in 2003 when Mahathir bin Mohamad resigned. Tun Dr. Mahathir bin Mohamad was the fourth Prime Minister of Malaysia. He held the post for 22 years from 1981 to 2003, making him Malaysia's longest-serving Prime Minister. His political career spanned almost 40 years. During Mahathir's tenure as Prime Minister, Malaysia experienced a period of rapid modernization and economic growth, and his government initiated a series of bold infrastructure projects. Mahathir was a dominant political figure, winning 5 consecutive general elections and fending off a series of rivals for the leadership of UMNO. However, his accumulation of power came at the expense of the independence of the judiciary and the traditional powers and privileges of Malaysia's royalty. He deployed the controversial Internal Security Act to detain activists, non-mainstream religious figures, and political opponents, including the deputy prime minister he fired in 1998, Anwar Ibrahim. Mahathir's record of curbing civil liberties and his antagonism towards Western interests and economic policy made his relationships with the US, United Kingdom, and Australia, among others, difficult. As Prime Minister, he was an advocate of third world development and a prominent international activist in support of the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa and the interests of Bosnians in the Balkans conflict in the 1990s. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today, it's on President Joko Widodo's visit to the United States generates $20 billion U.S. dollar investment. From Sunday to Tuesday, President Joko Widodo, or better known as Jokowi, made a visit to the United States. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno L. Marsudi said economic issues was the president's priority, so he visited the American Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C. 250 businessmen and government officials from both countries met on that occasion. Chairman of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, the chairman of the U.S.-ASEAN Business Council, Alexander Feldman, and chairman of the U.S.-Indonesia USINDO, David Merrill, welcomed President Joko Widodo and his entourage. In that same opportunity, the president witnessed the signing of 18 business agreements on various companies of both countries. According to the chairman of the Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, the presidential visit to the United States was to conclude several deals that have long been arranged. They were $20.25 billion U.S. dollars and cover the fields of energy, electricity, rail, cigarettes, drinks, and banking. According to Frankie, these agreements is a concrete commitment. It will encourage the realization of that commitment through a variety of policies that facilitate investment. Meanwhile, Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said said President Joko Widodo's visit to Washington, D.C., USA had reaped a great success. Of the 18 agreements, there are 11 in the field of energy. As many as 150 businessmen were present at the business meeting, and there were no less than 15 intense sessions carried out by the president and his delegation. Over 250 U.S. business community, especially investors who have long been in Indonesia, attended the dinner after the meeting with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. But President Jokowi was forced to cut short his visit to the United States and canceled a visit to Silicon Valley in San Francisco because the smoke disaster in Sumatra and Kalimantan was getting worse. The president went straight back home, or to be exact, to Palembang, and arrived there on Thursday. Through direct overland journey, the president headed towards Ogan Komering Ilir districts and temporarily moved his office there until Saturday. The district is reportedly experiencing the worst smoke disaster. Well, that was Focus Today. This is Harry Word Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with headlines of some newspapers published in Jakarta today, October 31st, 2015. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper, which headlines read, "Debate on 2016 state budget not for quality's sake." The bill on 2016 state budget was finally approved by the parliament to become law on Friday at 20:40 or 8:40 p.m. Better reflects the dynamics of the discussion more on groups' interests rather than concepts of improving the quality of the budget itself. The approval of the budget bill into law in the House of Representatives plenary session was preceded by leadership lobby mechanism. Gerindra Party, through its Minil fraction, had previously expressed rejection of the bill. Vice Chairman of the House of Representatives of the National Mandate Party faction, Taufik Kurniawan, as leader of the plenary meeting, said it was necessary to have communication with relevant parties in the lobby forum to arrive at the draft conclusions. This is to accommodate a variety of interests for the sake of the nation. Over now to Media Indonesia newspaper, which in its headline writes, Luhut's lobby helped pass the state budget. After going through a long lobby as a last resort in a plenary meeting of the parliament, the 2016 state budget bill, the House of Representatives finally passed the bill into law. The government sent Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro and Coordinating Minister for Political Law and Security Luhut Binsar Panjaitan to smoothen up the approval of the 2016 state budget. They were received by the House leaders in an hour closed-door meeting. There are two agreements reached in the government's lobby forum. Among others, the House of Representatives could approve the bill on the 2016 state budget bill to be enacted into law on condition that the entire record of the fraction is an integral part of the law that must be implemented by the government. Last is Republika newspaper, which in its editorial or in its headline writes, Equity of State-Owned Enterprises Postponed. After a long debate, the plenary session of Parliament on Friday finally approved the bill on the 2016 state budget. Nevertheless, the implementation of the state capital for state-owned enterprises contained in the bill or in the law was delayed. That was newspaper headlines of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakas.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Indonesia and Malaysia are currently in the process to achieve harmonization in palm oil standards as part of an agreement to set up a Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries. An international conference has concluded that Indonesian crude palm oil products are still needed by European markets, either for cosmetics, biofuel, or as food, indicating the success of the world's biggest CPO producer. Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry Committee of Festival Film Indonesia 2015 and Banten Provincial Government officially opened FFI 2015 or Festival Film Indonesia, awarding event which will be centered in Banten. To demonstrate its commitment to fighting fish poaching, the government of Indonesia has sunk 101 foreign fishing boats for conducting illegal operation in its maritime territory until October this year. The annual Gotra Sawala West Java Cultural Event was officially opened by Deputy Governor of West Java Deddy Miswar at Sunyaragi Cave Complex, Cirebon, West Java. An English teacher coming from Japan, Takenaka Kaori, explained to RRI World Service in Jakarta related to the World City Day commemorated every October the 31st that as a developed country, Japan has modern layout concept. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Gili Kondo, located on Lombok Island, West Nusa Tenggara Province. So stay tuned. Listener, Lombok Island is known with its exotic beauty and nature. Lombok is also called Thousands of Islands. In Lombok language, Gili means island. Lombok does not only have three Gili or islands such as Gili Trawangan, Gili Meno, and Gili Air, but also some other Gilis which are also beautiful. One of them is Gili Kondo or Kondo Island, located in the east of Lombok Island. Gili Kondo is in the Sambelia sub-district area in East Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara Province. Gili Kondo is an unoccupied small island. On Gili Kondo, there is only one lodging facility managed by a private company. Gili Kondo is also a coral reef conservation area. Listener, the beauty of coral reef on Gili Kondo is well maintained. The water at the beach is very clear. You can also snorkel and see beautiful coral reef, fish and sea urchins. At Gili Kondo Sea, there are also many black clown fish. Besides that, there is also white sand beach, which is quite white, blue sea with gradation color due to different sea depth, and also the bright cloud aided with the beauty of this small island. The scenery across the island is also very beautiful. If we look at the west, we will see Lombok Island with its hills. While if we look at the east, we will see clusters of big and small Sumbawa Island, which is amazing. When we look at the north, we will see beautiful Gili Bedagan and Gili Bidara with their white beaches. Listener, the best time to go to Gili Kondo is during dry season or in mid-year because the water at Gili Kondo is not quite deep and there is no wave. During low tide, visitors can walk to cross to Gili Bidara, which is located only 500 meters from Gili Kondo Beach. It takes around 2 hours to go to Gili Kondo from Mataram City by using private vehicles. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Gili Kondo, located on Lombok Island, West Nusa Tenggara Province. We meet again tomorrow with another different topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the endangered black or red frog of Gede Pangrango Mountains in West Jawa. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Indonesian forests are the habitat of many protected and endangered status animals. Mount Salak, Mount Gede, and Mount Pangrango are three mountains which are located at 2,000 meters above sea levels, an altitude that is suitable as a residence of black frog. The name blood frog or red frog is taken from its color, which is blood red. Nonetheless, the blood red color is not evenly distributed throughout the body, but only like patches. This type of frog usually is found in water areas with slower currents, as well as in small streams in the mountains and border areas between the humid lowland and mountain forests. Blood frogs exist in a large number in 1976, but in 1987 it began to decline. The drastically reduced red frog population has made IUCN Red List and turned it into endangered species at a critical level. Indeed, the existence of red frog in Indonesia has not drawn much attention. Therefore, information about it is still lacking. Blood frog or red frog is one of the endemic animals of Indonesia. It means that it exists only in Indonesia. Now, blood frog has become iconic tourist attraction around Cisurian Waterfall, Ipukan Block in Palutungan, Cigugur, Kuningan District. Head of Cigugur Resort, Mount Ciremai National Park, Idin, said to preserve the red or blood frog, the park management will tighten the security in the region. In addition to Mount Ciremai National Park, the red or blood frog can also be found in Mount Gede Pangrango and Mount Halimun Salak National Parks. Currently, the number of blood frog is unknown. The frog, which has smaller body than frogs in general, surely must be protected and preserved. Well, that was Mr. Lenny today, which informed you about the endangered blood frog of Mount Gede Pangrango. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through RRI Play and RRI World Service mobile applications on your smartphones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Mafiko Band. Mafiko Band comes from Bandung, West Java. The band consists of Izzy vocalist, Asia guitarist, Denny bassist, and Tama drummer. The first single of Mafiko Band, entitled Satu Dua Tiga Surga, or 1-2-3 Heaven, was composed by Asia guitarist. VOI listeners, here is Satu Dua Tiga Surga by Mafiko Band.
Malam ini aku bersama kamu, ku berikan semua cinta yang ada kepadamu. Oh kekasih, aku sangat sayang padamu. Coba rasakan curahan cinta. Sangat
You have just listened to a song from Mafiko Band entitled 123 Surga. 123 Surga has pop rock genre with acoustic guitars, keyboards, and string orchestra that touts the hearts. The first single process of Mafiko Band involved famous musician from Bandung. Well, listeners, let's listen to the second song from Mafiko Band entitled Kabu Cinta or Love Miss. Enjoy the song.
Jauh dari hidupku, jujur ku tak mampu jauh darimu. Walau engkau tak gantungkan cintaku, ku masih di sini setia untukmu dengan utuh cintaku. Bersama denganku, indahnya mimpi kita, tapi sadarku kau tiada. Yang aku inginkan hanyalah satu, menjalin cinta indah kau dan aku. Tapi yang kau pergi meninggalkanku jauh dari. Apa aku mencinta seakan kau telah terjaga larut dalam hamparan senang kau pandang dan sebuah kerinduan ku selalu akan bertahan cinta ku jaga.
Listeners, coming up next, we'll introduce you to Frankie Sitanggang. His typical vibrating and romantic voice makes him become a singer. This newcomer singer reminds Indonesian music lovers of a singer in the 1990s, Yana Julio. With the new single entitled Tapi Apa Kamu Cinta, or in English means But Do You Love, composed by Senior Office Fioda, Frankie is ready to face Indonesian music market. This single is believed to be able to be received by Indonesian music lovers because it is more simple, easy listening, but full of meaning. The song, which was arranged by Ambrizal Prasada and Ade Inama, makes it more romantic. Well, VOI listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today. Let's listen to the last song entitled Tapi Apa Kamu Cinta, sung by Frankie Sitanggang. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Rasa curiga, alasan pertama, hingga hatimu terluka. Tanpa kau ada buktinya, harus apa, bagaimana biar kita saling percaya. Ku ini milik
kata yang selalu kau dengar dariku. Semua berlalu dalam benakku. Jangan kau biarkan aku rasuki jiwamu. Harus apa, bagaimana biar kita saling percaya. Kau kan tahu diriku, takkan mungkin ku mampu bila tanpa dirimu. Cukup jangan kau tanya, ingat saja waktu berdua. Ku ini milikmu, aku ini untuk kamu. Ini kata yang selalu kau dengar.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Aku butuh kamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.